Lord, we ask that you come and visit us this morning. We ask that you let us learn more of your rest, learn more of you. Let us feel your love. Let us feel your glory and power. May you keep us in that rest. May you reveal yourself to us, and may you allow us to grow in you. Lord, we just ask that you would have your way in our hearts, tonight. Lord God, this morning you just come to us and just fill us.
Yes.
Fill us with your love and unfold your revelations before us, Lord. Let us know you more in each one of us in a more deep and personal way. Lord, we just ask that you come to us today. Let your spirit move. Amen.
Well, I got a new complication. I got a Bible with larger print, but it's also a much larger Bible. Well, that complicates me a little bit. Not really. I love it. I can see it. We have started to get into something that God is opening up to us. And I'm going to read a little bit, then I want to comment on it. It says in Hebrews 4:11, it says, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into the rest." Well, we got some comments on that, on the word labor, because that's the King James, but other translations have other words that they use, and one of them is strive and different things. But as I'm beginning to understand it, what God is telling us is whatever amount of effort is needed, put forth your effort. Because what you're going to do is you're going to enter into a place where you don't need that kind of effort. And then it says, you know, how this set of scripture behind me, you know, for there is one God. Do you think I can think of how it started? For there is one God. And having to do with the previous two scriptures, verses. And so the word for, meaning that the answer to the above is found right here. And so it says, labor to enter into his rest. And then in verse 12 it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I have a testimony. I don't know how many, now I lose track, but it's somewhere in 19 years or so that I heard a voice. And the voice said, if you want to find me, you have to look for me where I am. Well, that understanding began to come to me. It didn't take long, and I realized, you know what? You can't look for him where he isn't. And most of the circles that I have been in over the years, you had a hard time finding God. Now, he might show up somewhere, but I mean, you had a hard time because he wasn't readily available. And so my testimony, and even though that's all I heard on the outside, you know, if you're serious, if you want to find me, you have to look for me where I am. That's all I heard on the outside. But, you know, I heard a lot of things on the inside. Enough so that I knew, right after I heard that, I mean, from going to a place of horrible feelings of rejection from God, all the things that I was feeling, I went to a place on the other side. It was an immediate switch. And so anyway, of course I told Joanne, I said, we have to start listening to the scriptures. I was made aware that I've got to start listening to the scriptures. I wanted to over the years, but now I got to start, you know. And So we started listening to the scriptures, and of course, her immediate response was, "Well, we got other things to do. I mean, we just be sitting listening to scriptures," and because she didn't understand, and then she did. And pretty soon, we both began to understand. We had to listen to the scriptures. Well, I want to say something that I didn't realize until just a few months ago, that the scriptures had united us into a one flesh setting that we'd never had. And the next thing it did, it united us into a one spirit place that we had never been in. And so when I say that we never had an argument or a disagreement, and probably in the last 15 years, we didn't. You know why? God's word was playing consistently. I don't really understand how God's word is rest, but God's word is the rest. And I tell you what I think. And this, hopefully, is some pretty good thinking. In the 8th chapter of Hebrews, and then in the 10th chapter, which is a repeat, it says that the new covenant that God wants to make with us is to write His laws in our minds and then put them up on our hearts. Well, that kind of takes care of the person, doesn't it? Is that kind of us? If our mind is consumed with it and our heart is consumed with it, doesn't that kind of take care of the person? And I think that what we're doing by listening to the scriptures hour after hour, day after day, you know, there's not a lot of people around doing that. You know why? That's boring. And after I started listening to the scriptures for a while, you know what I thought? I know all this. You know what the truth was? Naturally, I knew a lot of it. Spiritually, I hardly knew anything. Because I have been taught from people that approach it from a natural standpoint. And so when the Bible says the natural man does not understand the things of God, in fact, their foolishness, I realized in a lot of the circles that I had been in over the years that the true things of God were foolishness to them. They avoided them. They stayed away from them. There are whole church organizations that avoid the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, which we have begun to realize is a major, major, major thing for the church. That gives us a foundation for a church service, for a proper worship. It gives us things that we don't get naturally. And so, anyway, after the service, I got something I want to share. I'm not going to share it right now, but on purpose. You'll see why. I got lots to say, but I want to tell you, I rode a half a mile on the bike this morning.
Oh, all right.
How far did you get?
I didn't hear you. Oh. You found a nice little exercise.
Listening to the scriptures is extremely boring.
There.
It is. And it isn't until you're listening with your spirit and the spirit of God. Because when Keith first talked about listening to the Bible, I sat down and I sat there and I sat there. And I turned it on and I'm listening. And I'm like thinking of what I'm going to make for supper and what I should be doing and what I'm not doing. And all of a sudden, it was the freedom when you finally said, you don't have to just be sitting there. So listening to the scriptures as an everyday person, it's boring. But listening with the Spirit of God is where it enlightens you and it becomes exciting and it becomes all this. And I just felt to share that because when we first started to listen to the scriptures, and I had them going kind of loud in my room. Corky's mother was really upset. Is she going to be playing that really loud like that? Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, well, you know, I don't want to be offensive. So, I mean, I kind of changed things. But the thing is that my spirit still heard it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be blaring, and it can be, or it can be soft, and it doesn't matter. I guess what I wanted to share was I was at work. People are not happy this time of year. Okay? It's amazing how many people, especially women, are using a little foul language when they're in the lane and things aren't going right. Yeah. Well, I had two customers back-to-back like that. And all I can say is that because the Lord's inside of me, you know, and that's what it gets so exciting. Because they're really angry. And I just kept apologizing, and I'm sorry, and it's the system, and, you know, this. And halfway, by the time they're done, they looked at me and they said, no, we know it's not your fault. And they began to actually have sympathy for me. And I'm thinking, do I look really pathetic? But I tried to take it as God's in me. Maybe that's what they saw. And that's what I'm thinking. And that's all I can ask for, is that the Lord's going to use me, because that's what I've asked for.
Amen. Glory. It's all been good. Ken brought something on, I think it was Wednesday night, that struck me. And, you know, we've been focusing on the rest and so forth. And he said, the Lord can't very well rest with the church as it is. No. And that should be what we want. We want to create whatever environment or whatever in which, oh yes, the Lord's response is, this is right. Talks about heaven as my throne, earth as my footstool. It'd be good to provide a real comfortable, restful footstool for him, you know. And that's not what the church is all about, you know, providing that footstool, that place of rest for him, that place in which he would want to inhabit, you know. So the whole business has been on my mind here this last week. And this business of having, entering into that place of rest and having it be in the Word, having that be the resting place, whatever, it shone some light for me on the Matthew 7 Christians. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know? Lord, we've done all these wonderful work, cast out demons, you know. And not that I've arrived in the place where the Lord would say, oh yes, good and faithful servant, but I got a kind of a glimmer, a picture, whatever, a sense in which the Lord would say, I never knew you, you know. And in that same way, I realized that this is there's the potential, we're entering into the area where we can be like, in obedience to what Jesus tells us to do in the Sermon on the Mount. Someone compels you to go 1 mile, you go 2 miles. Someone takes your
coat, you give him his shirt, or you know, however it goes, you know. This is the realm where that is what's in our heart, you know. It never seemed like an attainable place, you know. I'm not saying it's attained, but I can see, that's where it is. It's right over there. I get the sense that this place of rest in the Word is where it's at. That's where we will somehow, not only will we be able to obey those Sermon on the Mount instructions, it will be easy in the way that his yoke is easy and his burden is light.
Yes.
Easy in that way. And I just see it all as so good. So good.
We kind of hit on two subjects last Wednesday, and one of them was this rest, which is has to be there. I mean, that's just where you got to end up. And the other thing was, during the week, I had gotten really excited because the week before, and I think he even shared some of it here, Pablo was sharing about, you know, the love and how by us sharing with one another, we were building this love for one another. And so I ran across this setting of Scripture in Ephesians, and I was just thinking this morning, you know, this setting cannot take place unless you are listening to the Word and in the rest. I mean, otherwise this is not going to happen. But it is happening with us in a small degree already. And for those who weren't there, I want to read it. It's Ephesians 4. I'm going to... you know what? I'm going to read a little bit of Scripture here, so I'm going to start up. It says in 11, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge." Now, see, you know what? Most of the church doesn't really believe that's possible. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if they did, they would start dropping their denominationals and start getting with everyone who wants to be unified. Mm-hmm. So to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And I think, you know, we're just barely beginning to get a taste of what that is.
Amen.
"That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting." That's pretty harsh, scary, yeah. "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ." And this is the verse that I came across. And listen to this, because this is really important. "From whom the whole body, joined and knit together," and here's the part that's been happening with us, "knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body," and this is what really hit me, "for the edifying of itself in love." And that was exactly what Pablo was saying. We kind of were using 1 Corinthians 14 with the, the prophets prophesying and everything. Well, this is kind of saying, this is saying the same thing. Because it's saying, knit together by what every joint. So nobody is of less importance than anybody else. Everyone has something to share if we want this to happen.
Yeah.
According to the effective working by which every part does its share. Because the whole thing is like Paul says, you can't just have the head, you can't just have the hand, you can't just have whatever. You have to have the whole body of Christ knit together. Amen. You know? And that's the ultimate goal of God for us. And it causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And you know what? That is not what happened at the end of what we had. You know? It's what was beginning to have, what was coming in the beginning of that. So there is this love that God's going to develop in us. It has to be there because He is love. And that love gets stated as the most important aspect there is, you know. But of course you got to have a foundation and everything so that it doesn't get tainted like it did. And boy, when that begins to happen, it'll have a profound effect. I mean, I know what the effect it had in just a little bit I tasted of when God first moved with love here. I mean, it was like you didn't look at anybody with any ill feeling or any criticism or judgment. You know, there was no judgment. That's amazing. You know, if we could have kept that, where would we be? Probably in glory. You know, I don't know. So, along with the entering and the rest, you know, I mean, I felt that a long time ago, and it just made me free. That I did not have to labor in the... Now, we talked about it, you know, the labor and whatever we're saying. It's like, yeah, when I first heard it, I went, geez, yeah. And, you know, you had to, like, press forward, you would say, which is labor in a sense. But you had to press forward to say, no, how could this be wrong to hear the Word of God?
Right.
You know? And so then I literally made myself listen some days. But who cares? Because you know what? I made myself listen for, I remember sometimes it might have been 5 to maybe 10 minutes. But in that, God gave just a little taste, a little drop of why I needed to be doing that. And I went, oh man, just in that little bit, God, you know, God was faithful. So then as I'm listening more and more. And, you know, so you do labor in that aspect of it. But after that, it was like, I don't need Bible studies. I don't need to get up in the morning saying, get my Bible out and paper and start going through the scriptures and try to figure out what's what. You just don't do that, you know. The fact that if you can grasp this truth that Jesus said in John, 15 and 16, wherever there's quite a few references, at least 3 or 4, to He's going to send you the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth,
yes,
who will bring you, teach you, and bring you into all truth. And you stop and think about that. So I'm listening to the Word. I don't want to listen with my natural mind. You know? That's why you don't want to listen and then reverse it and go back. What did that say? You know? And I did that for a while. And then I realized that, no, that's trying to study the Word of God in my own flesh, you know, or mind. So then it was just like, no, if that's important, I'll hear it again. And a lot of times, I did. And then there was more substance, you know. So it just, the fact that the Holy Spirit, and that's why I like what Susan was saying, doesn't matter how loud or how quiet it is, because it's the Spirit moving that you can't see that bypasses all the natural and goes into your spiritual mind and your spiritual self, you know, and teaches you. And then you know, yes, I would listen and maybe and then through the night, and then I'd get up the next morning and I just kind of start shuffling through the Bible a little and go, oh, I'm going to read here for a while. And all of a sudden, or I thought I heard something uncertain, and you know, when you hear it in your car, you don't necessarily know where. I mean, I can look and it'll say the chapter, the verse, but it doesn't put the heading on the chapter. So I got to kind of figure out which book it's in, you know, whatever. But I would hear something. Well, then I would later get home, and then I'd kind of, okay, I'm just going to read through this area and see what it brings. And I would read, and then sometimes something would just jump out. Other times, it kind of was lost, more or less. So, oh, well, I'll hear it again if it's important. So that is the rest we're talking about. You're just not doing it yourself. Because in that Hebrews, it says, and I don't want to mess it up, so I'm going to read it. A part there that I really like. So, okay. 4:10. For he who has entered into his rest has himself also ceased from his works. Now it could end there. But it says, as God did from his. You want to be like God? Stop working. You know, in legalism and fleshly things, you know. Be led by the Spirit. So, it's obvious that we've been working way too much. You know, and we found out it was getting us nowhere, really. Because when you work, then you come up with your own doctrines and your own beliefs and what you think is right, you know. And maybe you'll get one or two people to agree with you, you know. And then when you don't, you have a split in a church, you know. So, yeah. So, you know, the glorious part that I love that's been evident here is I know we're not there, but I know we have found a degree of unity in the Spirit.
Yes.
You know, we are starting to be like-minded, not because we're trying to please one another by agreeing and be, let's stick together, because who knows against, you know. It's just naturally. I mean, not naturally. It's happening by the Spirit without us doing it. And I've said that, I've testified to some people that I've shared with. I said, you know, it's kind of funny. We're small. Now we're starting to do more, a little more get together at least once a week. But before that, we weren't doing anything. I said, you know, everybody's kind of on their own during the week. And then we come on Sunday and we have service. And all of a sudden, it's amazing how each different person is sharing, sometimes from a different angle, but the same thing that they've received during the week by listening to the Word of God. And that is fulfilling what the Word says, that you should be unified with one mind. That's what the goal, I mean, that's what the church, that's what we should be looking for. And that will create, and it's funny because you use church a lot, and it's, you know, you got to put the parentheses. That's when the real Church of Christ is going to be formed. How else can it be if there's disagreement, separation? You know, how possibly can you become one body? You know, and it says, become as one, you know, man and wife, they become as one flesh. Well, it uses that to say that's what we're supposed to be with Christ. Amen. And it says we will know his flesh and blood, or flesh and bones. And I think part of that is maybe we'll know his suffering here on earth when he was in the flesh and bones. You know, but that will unite us with him all the more to become one body with him as the head, you know. So it's when you start thinking of those things, it gets kind of exciting.
Yes, it is.
You know, it does. It's
yes.
In Matthew 4:4, Jesus told the devil when he was being tempted, he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And I want to make the statement that there's not a lot of every word church or every word organizations around. And for the most part, people have their own private, you know. Ken made a statement about, he says there's a verse that he really likes. And I thought, you know what, he's saying it from the right perspective, but there's a lot of people that say, well, I like this verse. I don't care so much about those, you know. And it's like, but Jesus said that, you know, man shall live not by bread alone, but by every word. And Paul made the statement, and he says, in Acts, he said, I have not shunned but to declare every, or the whole counsel of God. And so the thing that that is happening here that I know is pleasing to God is that every word or everything that is in the Bible aspect. I have been a part of the isolated system for a long time. As a matter of fact, I've helped isolate it. And I have done my share of digging into the scriptures to find what I wanted in the scriptures. You know why? Because I already knew the truth. And of course, I'm teasing, but I really didn't know what I thought I knew, you know. And so in Galatians, the first chapter, it's Paul says that if you don't preach or have the same gospel that we have preached, he said you're going to be cursed. And so I'm thinking, what about people then that are isolating and leaving parts out, and they're, it's like they have a half a gospel or a half of a church, you know what I mean? What about these people? My mind went blank. That happens with age.
I haven't said it in a while, but God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. In way of testimony, I can report that God is potentially mending some of the rift in my family. There's some more trials and testing of that, but
good.
There have been positive communications and
good.
Not so bitter, just more happy. So, you know, God will do what he's going to do. I would just encourage everyone to kind of read Hebrews 4, pretty much the whole chapter. But I want to highlight a couple of verses that stuck out to me in talking about this rest. Hebrews 4:1, for we have believed to enter into rest, as he said, as I've sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Which ties back to, I never really understood in the beginning of the Bible long why God rested on the seventh day. I suppose in my Catholic bringing, it was just to make sure I went to church on Sundays so they could collect money. I don't know. But when you don't think about it and you just give it that kind of cursory attention, but no, I think the seventh day God rested, and the fact that we are entering into his rest. And as God said, as he finished creating the world, he said it was good. There is something really important there that we have to grab onto. I think we tend to, well, let me start that word. I tend to hear the word rest and confuse that. Rest in the natural mind is kind of a state of not working. You're either working or you're resting. It's an action thing.
It's good.
It's not a place. It's not a state of being. If you are resting in the Word of God, which is what you are doing when you're hearing the Word of God, that's not a works thing.
Yeah.
that is just a place or a condition of the heart or a condition of the faith. You know, one of my fave songs this morning I played, it's an unfolding revelation, and hasn't that been so true the past couple weeks? We are getting new and new revelations out of the Word. Just like we're zippity-doo-da along and we're just listening to the Word, and then all of a sudden, a significant revelation unfolds. And it's still unfolding. And it's good. It's good. So when someone says, you know, why do you listen to the Word? Because God's not done telling me what it says. Mm-hmm. Well, why is that? I don't know. When I see him, I'll ask him. It's up to him. It's not up to me. And, you know, just to put a finer point on it, it's not up to you. You're not going to Bible study your way into knowing everything about God's Word, which you may not want to hear. And you're not going to mission field your way into knowing everything about the Word of God. Mm-hmm. You are not going to do this. And until you get that, you're not really going to enter into God's rest. Hebrews 4:1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. So it's not sort of a thing you sort of want. You should be fearful of not being able to enter into God's rest. It's a deal.
Yeah.
I don't know everything about what it is. I just know it's enough that I need to be seeking it. Earnestly, diligently, because as the men have spent a lot of time looking to all the different translations of Hebrews 4:11, let us labor, let us seek, let us diligently, therefore, to enter into God's rest, or that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So, there's a tie-in between God's rest, unbelief, the Word, his will, faith. Faith. And if you have faith, in God, what do you have? You have love. And if you have God's love, I mean, Susan was sharing, and I've been kind of just telling her, I said, you know, I don't know why this has all happened, and she's doing what she's doing, and having people come and attack her in the natural, but I said, maybe it's just because you're supposed to share a little bit of God's love with people. Maybe you're just supposed to make someone's natural day just a little better. Maybe that's the big thing. Now, you can't talk to a dyed-in-the-wool James believer and say, all you got to do is talk to people. That doesn't fit James. You got to work. You got to understand works. You don't put the natural bend to that. As Charlie said, maybe the Matthew 7 people and the works, and then Jesus saying, I don't know you. And I always interpreted that, spoiler alert, my interpretation of that was, these are people who didn't have the right heart in trying to seek God. And they were trying to show in a natural way all of their accomplishments. And God's response to that was, how is this of any benefit to me? You're trying to elevate yourself by digging that ditch or clothing that man or giving money. Mm-hmm. How is that glorifying me? And isn't that what the Word tells you to do? I shared with the guys, I'll just say it here, I don't know. I clearly don't have the full revelation of this. I just am absolutely, with all of my being, positive it's a big thing. I think it's right up there with understanding that Jesus is not a God. God's rest. It's not a doing. It's a place. It's a place of your heart, of your condition, of your position towards God. I want to enter in that rest, because if I do that, He will meet me. And if you believe He will meet you, then what do you have to fear? And if you don't fear anything, then love can flow. And no matter what happens, I mean, and I can tell you that there have been times when I didn't feel all that wonderful for God. You know, He just kept making sure that there was trials and difficulties in my life. I'm on the other side of many of those things, and all I can say is, my testimony is, because I didn't turn from God, He never turned from me. And in fact, when I thought maybe He had turned from me, He hadn't. I just wasn't listening right. I just wasn't paying attention to what He was doing. I've seen so many things happen, the changes I see in all of you, the changes that I see inside of myself, which I don't claim that I am, you know, fully get. God is doing amazing things. Brother Ken said, you know, we look and, you know, I shared with Keith the other day that just for a brief flicker 2 weeks ago, I just felt this disappointment that our numbers weren't what they should be. And I said, you know, and then I recognized it as the enemy coming against me, because it's kind of been one of my strongholds. I just will not give in to that. Because God does not need many. He just needs you. You to be open. And the thing you have to get past is, well, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to save thousands? Nope. Maybe you're supposed to pick up a piece of paper at a parking lot. And that's what God wants you to do. And that is part of His plan. Doesn't seem very fulfilling in the natural, but I don't care. I don't care what it seems like to me. I only care if what it is pleasing to Him. And then, getting to the place where I'm happy at that. Oh, so I'm not going to be the great, No. You're supposed to do this. And what I do with that, what business of that is yours? Yeah, I'd like to say I'm just living in that. I'm not quite there yet. I'm trying to get there. I'm, you know, just trying to get in as well. God's rest. We have to be there. And once we're there, God will do amazing things in our lives. Because then we're turning ourselves over to Him, Lord, in a deeper way.
I went to a Christmas program the other day, and from one of my great-grandchildren, and I have not been really associated with that, with our public school systems and what and where they're at, and I got this horrible feeling, and I'm a part of it. And because they can't mention God, they can't mention Jesus, they can't, and I'm thinking, how do you get a Christmas program out of this? And I was overcome with something. I started crying. I said, Lord, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry that we have gotten to this place. Christmas is about Christ, but He can't be mentioned. How do you have a program?
A lot of snowmen and jingle bells.
Yeah. They have to make sure that the songs that they sing don't in any way pertain to Christianity. And people are all excited, you know. There was one person that wasn't. That was me. And I have a little report. Now, Eli's not here today. I don't know if he was here. If he was, but... he had to give some kind of a speech at up at Chi High, and he's not exactly what you think he is, and so he goes up there and he is talking about things that are Christianity things,
And anyway, the whole class is against him. Mm-hmm. They're all angry with him. And the teacher, after he had said what he said, because he said, "I'm a Christian, and you know, I don't go along with these things." But he's also the captain of the tennis team, you know. But and the teacher, after he got all through, the teacher said, "Eli," he said, "I admire you." Yeah. For standing up and not being afraid for what you stand for. Mm-hmm. Which probably means that the teacher leads toward Christianity too, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I thought, and I talked to him about it, and he says, "I said, well, how do you do with that?" He says, "I don't care what they like or don't like." And so I thought, well, the name Eli was a good one. You know? It was a good name. And so we just, you know, need to pray for him. He went ice fishing all by himself yesterday over to Lake Menominee and he got all kinds of them. And said he caught, he could only have 10 fish. He come back with 9 of the biggest crappies he's ever caught, he said. Mm. So, but anyway, I thought maybe he'd be here this morning, but... I am excited. I'm excited. When I first got saved, I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and we're in a denominational church. And Joanna and I got to the place that we couldn't swallow anymore. The doctrine was so offensive to the Scriptures that we couldn't swallow it. And you know what was really strange? The pastor himself was not really happy with the doctrines of their church. And when they came along and said that we no longer can believe in the virgin birth, you know, he didn't buy that. And I thought, how many other pastors are just, they're part of an organization, and remember what Peter said? He said to the Jewish leaders, he said, you tell us, do we listen to you or do we listen to God? What do we listen to? And in the 17th chapter of John, in the 17th verse, Jesus makes a strange statement. And he's praying, you know, he says, I'll add the thing, Father, but he says, Father, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify them. And my concordance, the word sanctify actually means to separate. Separate them so that unto yourself through your truth. Do you follow what I'm saying here? See, that is the thing that makes the difference. And when Pilate said, "What is truth?" I'm beginning to understand. Everybody, or a lot of people think they have the truth, but they don't. The only truth that exists is God's truth, says God is the one that made everything. If he says that's the way it is, that's the way it is. And we can agree or disagree. On the day of judgment, I don't think there'll be very many people disagreeing.
Friday, I went to a Christmas concert for Beckett. At Hillcrest Elementary. And I, at one point I was sitting there too and I was watching all these little children going up there and I'm going, I don't know what percent, but a great percent of them have no idea. You know? But then I kind of went, but you know what? God can always reach who he wants to reach. Mm-hmm. I picked up on the fact, too, that all the songs for quite a while were all just Jingle Bells and Snowman and da-da-da. But at the end, there was 2 songs that everyone was asked to sing along, and one of them was Silent Night. And in there, it does mention the infant baby, you know, and whatever. But that was it. You know, that was it. But, so, yeah. Yeah, and God bless Eli. That takes only courage that probably God can give, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to put this out, and I am by no means going to say I had a dream, and I'm not going to say how much of it or whatever, you know, because for one, I've noticed that if I take a little helper to go to sleep with, sometimes your dreams are enhanced a little, you know, which I did, you know, but, and whatnot. But anyway, and then I toy with the idea, you know, how much of your subconscious ends up in your dreams and whatever, you know. But I saw a picture, and I believe is giving an indication maybe, but there was a whole multitude of people out here, and there was kind of a little dip, and it was like an all open, maybe a field, whatever, I don't know. And then there was some of us up here, and probably it was me, but I don't know, and we started to share about the word. And I can remember that all of a sudden this, like a person type form, would come shooting across, and it was like it wanted to take you out, like a spirit. And I remember just going, no, and it would disappear, and then there'd be another one. And then I ended up down in the crowd, but it was like I was starting to share, you know, witness, but it was only to certain ones in the crowd, you know. It wasn't trying to speak to the whole mass that was there. It was just all of a sudden this individual, or this little, you know, group of people, maybe, whatever. So that part is about all I'm going to say could possibly be from the Lord. You know, and then there are some other things. But, and I, because I, the only one I really had that I feel was definitely from the Lord was the one about, you know, the faith to walk on water, whatever. That one was real. So this one's, you know, I mean, I want to be open to any of that. I'm getting old, so old man had dreams. And Keith's a good testament to that. So, but, you know, anyway, so that's all I'm going to say.
You know, in a kind of a sense, maybe it doesn't make much difference if it was from God or from whatever. Was it true? Are we going to have the kind of authority where you can point at a spirit and stop it? No? Is that true? I think it is. And so, you know, in the same way that you can, oh, gee whiz, was I under the anointing of the Spirit of God or not? Well, I felt good. And these things are a mix a lot of times. But if it is true, and the Spirit some way bears witness to that, I believe, you know, then yes, it is best for us to express some uncertainty on this thing, you know. I don't want to say, thus saith the Lord, if it could be very well, thus saith Charlie, you know. Still, it bears being brought. And I'm personally edified by the thought that the time is coming when we have the authority to say no to a spirit and have that veer off. And also be alert to the fact that, yes, those spirits of unbelief or whatever the thing is alive and well in those that we're going to be having dealings with, you know.
This is just a testimony and a thank you for your prayers. As for prayer for my sister last week, you know, I really thought I was going to lose her. That's bad. And I am very happy to report that there was just a major turnaround. Whatever was in her heart, there's absolutely no blockages. There was a slight kind of an aneurysm, but it wasn't that big of a deal. The blockage in her leg, it didn't have to be bypassed or stented. They were able just to blast the clot out of there, and she's home and doing much better. So thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, for prayer, then he got a stake of plenty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's what I say.
I don't want to be negative, but as I was glancing through Hebrews 3 and 4, as you were bringing, I kind of noticed something. And what I noticed is there's a lot of warning in there saying, if you want to enter the rest, don't do these things.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd better bring these things. And what I found is, don't be in rebellion. Don't be in unbelief. Mm. Don't harden your heart and don't disobey. If you want to enter the rest, that's what you got to know not to do. In other words, those won't bring you rest. So I was really kind of encouraged that he also told me what not to do.
I think it's in the third chapter of Hebrews. Towards the end. It says, with whom was he grieved for 40 years? Was it not with them that sin whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? And so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief.
Right.
And the gospel was preached to them, it says, you know, whoever the writer is of Hebrews, as well as unto us. So the same thing that we are hearing has been preached to lots of people. But a lot of people didn't believe, and of course, it's always been that way. Many are called, but only few are chosen. Few there be that find it. You know, straight is the way, narrow is the gate. And so, it's not an easy thing. But you know, one of the things that God has done here that I believe is a supernatural, special, precious, wonderful thing. He has turned us on to the Word, and that's why it says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharp. But you know what? Every part of that Word is quick and powerful and sharp. And it's a discerner of spirits, a discerner of our hearts. I mean, it does things inside. You know, how many things that I have heard, and as I heard them, I realized, you know what? I got that problem. And it's a funny thing. You don't necessarily see it as wrong until the Word of God reveals it. Does that happen to any of you? When you were talking about the spirits Joanne was famous for that. And we were driving over here on Jay. We're just making the corner to where there's a tavern on the side, right side, and we're just barely moving. It was raining outside, and Joanne's on this side. I'm sitting here and I'm looking because there's a skirmish going on. I was trying to figure out what it was. I was only going maybe 10 miles an hour. And because other people were doing the same thing I was doing. We're looking at whatever, there's about a dozen people, and it looked to me like they're having a fight. And meanwhile, some guy comes around the corner and lost control of his truck, and he's headed right at us. And I remember Joanne yelling out, "No!" You know. And he missed us. And it's like, you know what's the bad part? I never saw it. But she was famous for that. And I remember how a number of times she said, "No!" she'd say, and something or other. She didn't even bother to say any more than that. But anyway, I'm glad for what God is doing here. And I want to say to Corky, don't fail me now when you've been the one that's been helping me with the small numbers. Right now is not the time. Because he's been probably the biggest help I've had. Because, you know, the Bible says, don't disdain the time of small beginnings. You know? And the thing about it is, sometimes there's only a few that will work out. But you know what? There's a lot more people around us that are listening to the scriptures. And at the right time, we'll have some kind of fellowship with them. And whether they'll be here or not, that's not where we don't necessarily want them here. We want them in heaven. You know what I mean? And so that has to be our objective, not to fill up a space that we're happy as we are, I think. I am, anyway. And so anyway.
Paying the bills.
Huh?
We're paying the bills.
You know, I don't know how you guys are doing it. I don't know. Or how you have. I don't know. Yeah, that's a blessing of God. God said he can do anything, and he's doing anything.
I just caught Jean saying something about, she said, "Well, there used to be hundreds of people here." And I went, "And the bills got paid." And now there's a dozen people here, and the bill's getting paid. So who do you think's taking care of things? You know, I mean, you stop and think about it. And if you don't get all caught up about how everything should be perfect and pristine, because you shouldn't get caught up in that, then everything's fine. I mean, we got way better conditions than a lot of other churches that started in fields and everywhere else and sat on straw bales and whatever, you know. So, yeah, I don't care. I could care less about what's around me. I care what the spirit is within the group, the gathering, you know. You know, just a little follow-up on that dream. I was wondering, I was, you know, it showed that we've witnessed only certain people, and because the thing was, you didn't have to, because they were going to spread the spark, you know, to the rest. So you just, God said, "Speak here," you did, and you went on, and then, you know, and yeah. So that's just a little more insight on the end of what that was, but yeah, it's.
Share a little bit about the church business. Actually, we had a harder time paying the bills when we had hundreds than we do now, but we don't have as many bills for one thing now. So. All right. Connection with the church. You know, Gene and I were in Great Britain here last summer. And there were two cathedrals that we went in.
And, oh, boy, those things really, well, you know, speaking after the manner of men, oh, it was so glorious. Those things were just, ooh, my. They were really just magnificent, just magnificent. But, you know, that's not where God is, you know. He's, you know what, you know, they talk about tabernacle. And what a tabernacle is a bunch of kind of brush that is, that you maybe find some kind of covering over or something. You know, real temporary, you know. And you build this glorious cathedral, you're making an error with what God is looking for. Maybe we're going to have cathedrals or whatever in heaven, but, oh, no. Build some rather humble place to have your meetings in, I think. I don't know. I do remember when I was giving talks at the Gideon's, being in a really nice church, not really nice Lutheran church. It's not one of the old ones. It was a pretty new one, you know. But oh, a really big monument to something. Mm-hmm. And the pastor during the service was talking about how big the mortgage was, and sounded as though unless they bumped up their offerings by quite a bit, they weren't going to be able to make the mortgage. And they should have stayed in the 125-year-old church they were in before, as far as I'm concerned. That thing worked fine, you know. Probably the heating system could have used some upgrade, but you know, that's, I just, you know, this is nice here, but it's no monument to any kind of greatness of us or God. It's just a good place to meet. Good place to meet.
Being as Charlie brought up the big cathedrals, and earlier this week when we were having devotions together, he had mentioned what Ken had said at the meeting about a place for God to rest. And that tabernacle, it was where his presence came down. We are to be the dwelling place of God. And if that just really blessed me. It was like, oh, he wants to rest. He wants to rest with me. How's he going to do that? Not if I'm off busy going crazy doing this. If I'm just like in him, you know, because he also wants to rest and fellowship with me. I just, that really blessed me. And then it just somehow came around to it again with those cathedrals. Yeah. They were something, but they were. Someone was trying to have a little service up in one corner of one, and they had people wandering through, you know, to look at the architecture, and you had to pay money if you want to take a picture. Because how are they going to keep that big place going? You know, so glad we don't have that problem.
Couldn't help thinking, I'm tired of speaking, talking about that, if all that stuff is for man's glory, or was it for God's glory?
Right.
Whose glory is all that stuff for? Right. Yeah. About a year ago, I started a what I got here, Paul. My thoughts and revelations. And I kind of found it. It was kind of stuffed in a box somewhere, and I found it the other day. And I kind of read through it. But the one thing I want to read just one small part of it that I wrote, like I said, about a year ago. I can only do what God wants me to do if I am willing, if I allow myself to do what God wants me to do. And then I thought, no, I didn't like the word allow. So I rewrote it, and I said, I can only do what God wants me to do if I am willing to do what God wants me to do. Mm-hmm. There's a big difference between willing and allow. Mm-hmm. You know, and I just thought, you know, if you're not willing, then you're not going to allow God to do it. You got to be willing to do and allow it. Kind of ties it together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, Dale and his son Brian, my grandson, are going to be here. Noon is going to be on Wednesday, so we're not going to have a Bible study on Wednesday nights or Wednesday night. We will after that, but not this coming Wednesday. And on Tuesday night, we can't have it either, because that's the reason that Dale is coming Wednesday instead of Tuesday is because Brittany is graduating, and with all the effort that Grandma and I put into it, I certainly want to go to be there. And so just anyway, I just wanted to tell you that, but you can get together somewhere else on Wednesday night anyway if you want to. But if we could come up to the front. And tonight, we, you know, we'll be at my house, and we'll tape it tonight over at the house.